The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Irish visitors to the US could be required to submit 5 years of their social media history in order to enter that country, whether they need a visa or not. The notice from the Trump administration has sparked huge outrage in the international community, but many worried it will further reduce already declining tourist numbers in the US. There are also concerns that World Cup fans travelling for the competition in 2026 will be turned away if their social media activity doesn't align with Donald Trump's views. Joining me now to talk more about this is Eoin Corrie, editor of Travel Extra, and Fianna Fáil MEP Barry Andrews. Good morning and welcome to you both. Barry, what is your immediate reaction to these outrageous proposals?
Well, they're unworkable, Pat. I think that for my own part, I'm due to be in Washington for meetings on the World Bank next year. And I'm my own advocacy on Gaza and Palestinian right to self-determination, my own advocacy on the regulation of digital media would really raise a red flag, I assume, with the customs authorities when I present my credentials to enter the United States. And I think, frankly, if you believe the Israeli government, almost everybody in the Irish government is anti-Semitic. And these are one of the reasons that people would be turned away from the border. So, you know, I mean, it's unworkable from a whole range of reasons. This is a 60-day proposal, so it's not going to come into force for another 60 days. So it's absolutely critical that both Ireland and all of EU diplomacy needs to raise this with the US government and to demonstrate how unworkable it is from the point of view of the economy, from tourism, from issues around data protection, which raises real questions about EU-US data adequacy agreements, whether or not this makes it completely unworkable in the future.
Now, what about in your own case? You think you might raise a red flag with the immigration authorities, but surely you would travel on a diplomatic passport as an EU MEP?
Well, not all Irish. Well, I have a diplomatic passport, but the reason for that is because I travel to Africa all the time. They have to hand in your passports sometimes for a couple of weeks, so you use your other ordinary passport. So it is possible, you know, you could enter on a diplomatic passport, but it is, for the vast majority of Irish TDs and senators, they won't have access to a diplomatic passport. But, you know, we do because of the nature of our work. But, you know, it will still present an enormous barrier to normal political exchange with the United States in the future. I mean, even from my own, one of the criteria they want to hear is see what your family has been saying. Yeah. And in my case, as you know, my brother David McSavage has a very active Instagram account where he constantly mocks the Trump administration. So, you know, just yeah. There's so many little personal details like that, which you can see across how unworkable all of this is.
Looking at what they're looking for, high value data fields they want as well, including phone numbers from the last 5 years, email addresses from the past decade, and personal details of family members and biometric information. I mean, Europe collectively should just tell Trump where to go and take his administration and stuff it where it belongs. Because these are outrageous things that they're trying to normalize.
It's completely outrageous. And, you know, some people are trying to downplay it, saying, well, they'll only look at certain people and it won't really apply to the average football supporter. But what this really is it's presented as a counter-terrorism national security issue, as if any terrorist it is going to demonstrate their intentions based on their recent social media activity. What it really is trying to shut down freedom of speech. Anybody who is critical of Donald Trump and his ideology is to be excluded. And social media regulation is a battleground between the EU and the US. You know, we are regulating social media and digital platforms to protect democracy, to protect children, to encourage competition. These are our values. Until recently, they were US values. But now the US wants to shut down all of the criticism of the Trump administration. Now, I've been critical, by the way, of the Biden administration in its conduct of its arms sales to Israel and the protection of Israel. Would that exclude me? Or is it just criticism of the Trump administration? So I think this is completely unworkable. And there's absolutely requires diplomatic effort.
As I say, the whole Steve Bannon thing of flooding the zone with so many things that it's almost impossible for regular media to keep up with all the outrageous things that the Trump administration does, whether it's piracy off the coast of Venezuela with an oil tanker, which may or may not be just about legal, depending on how you view their embargoes of that country, killing people in the Caribbean unilaterally, which many experts believe is a war crime on the part of Hegseth and his minions as well, including Admiral Bradley. All of these things flood the zone with so much outrage that we begin to normalize. And you're wondering, is it about time that Europe, grew a pair and stood up to this kind of nonsense?
It's not flooding the zone. There's a consistent pattern here. Whether it is this idea of applying federal troops into U.S. states, whether it is the national security strategy that creates this Western hemisphere of a U.S. imperialism, whether it is Vance's speech at the Munich Security Conference in February, all of these are consistent with an idea of American using its commercial influence to try to bully, to apply duress to previous partners. And it's also a massive wake-up call for European Union.
Yeah, but when is Europe going to stand up to him? Because, I mean, we have a situation here where he's calling Europe weak. He's disparaging many of the democratically elected governments in Europe. He's supporting far-right movements in Europe, some of them political parties of greater or lesser strength. I mean, he is deliberately trying to undermine Europe. And meantime, he's interfering in what he calls his sphere of influence, the Western Hemisphere involving South America. You know, you do what you're told or you'll be punished by the U.S. This kind of behavior is not acceptable.
Yeah. So what's been happening at an EU level, and some criticism of the EU on my part, is that we've taken a sort of a parallel strategy. On the one hand, we are preparing the idea of strategic autonomy, whether it is commercial relations, whether it is a security position. But at the same time, there's this idea that somehow you can keep Trump sweet with this kind of nauseating flattery that we saw from Mark Rutte on the NATO side. President Macron providing him with a medal or giving him parades in Paris. And that this parallel approach could somehow, be an each way bet on the US. What we've seen in the most recent national security strategy and this hostile speech that he gave or interview he gave to Politico is proof that that second parallel strategy around trying to flatter President Trump, trying to keep him sweet, is completely not going to work.
Yeah,
it is a redundant and waste of time, and we have to be absolutely understand this is a change in the way we have to approach. And very often, the European Union evolves based on the crisis that it faces, whether it was austerity, whether it was the crisis of migration, whether it was Brexit, COVID, Ukraine. Now we have the end of the EU-US assumptions. Now that's over. US has made that abundantly clear. So the European Union has to move. It has to create its own strategy that really assumes that that's the future we face.
Text here. Are the US rules on entry to their country outrageous? It's their country. If they want people to do the hokey-cokey before entering, it's up to them. Now, this guy, whoever he is, he doesn't give his name, but basically he presumes that he is also his brother's keeper. In other words, he's got to monitor, if he wants to go in, he's got to monitor how his brother, sister, mother, aunt behaves on social media. He's got to give their phone numbers. He's got to give his own biometrics if he's happy to do that. I mean, these are outrageous demands on the part of the United States. Another one says, surely half the football players who are going to travel to the World Cup probably wouldn't be allowed in on the basis of these new rules. That's from Paul. When applying for the ESTA prior to holidays in the USA, they've already been asking for social media page numbers over a year ago. What's different? Well, what's different now is that the demands on the ESTA are going to be even more rigorous than before. All the lads booking for the World Cup, what about their socials and access to the games, from Barbara? So how many stand-up comedians will be barred from entering the USA, asks Joe in Galway. I'm 57, I've never had any social media accounts. My worry is telling US Border Control might take this as a red flag to them, saying, I've no social media accounts. They think you're lying. Of course you have. Everybody has a social media account. That's a worry for Patrick in Ballybrack. Anyway, this should be stood up to. There's no reason why they shouldn't have proper visa regulations and entry regulations to the USA. But this kind of intrusive stuff is utterly unacceptable. And in the so-called land of free speech, it doesn't actually make any common sense. Listening to our conversation, Owen Corry, editor of Travel Extra. Owen, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, those rules about social media have been in force for some time. Not these new rules, the more draconian ones, the old rules demanding your social media information. Tell me, what impact has it had on travel to the United States?
Very little, virtually none. I think Barry hit the nail on the head. This may be a means to shut down the volume of criticism, which is enormous on social media of America, by saying, oh, we're going to watch you. And if you want to come to the World Cup, go easy on us. So there has been no impact. There has been no incident to my knowledge, at pre-clearance in Dublin or Shannon. Of people being turned away because of social media posts. In the age of, it may have happened, but in the age of outrage on social media, you'd expect it to show up. There have been high profile international cases. In one case, a French academic who hadn't said anything about Gaza or Venezuela, but was talking about funding for US science projects on his WhatsApp group. He was turned away very early in this cycle, and it caused a lot of coverage. And it's interesting to note that places like Germany, France, tourism to the United States is very, very far down. Ireland is flat. It's more or less the same as last year. Big drop in March. That was mainly because of the date in April. Big drop in September. The date of Easter. It recovered in April. Big drop in September. Not sure why, but it recovered heavily in October. We're more or less going to send 500,000 tourists to America this year, the 12th most important inbound market into America. And it's a little bit short of pre-pandemic 530,000. But two of the markets that have not been impacted by all this coverage are Britain and Ireland, I think, because we're very familiar with America and we're used to an occasional aberration of who the incumbent in the White House might be.
So you think we're just going to wait Trump out, but then we might have Vance, who is equally hostile to Europe.
It tends to go with Republican presidents. I'm old enough to remember the protests when Ronald Reagan came to Ballyporeen. Some of my colleagues were involved in protests at the time. Photographs were taken and people were turned down in 1984 for their J-1 visas. I don't think very much has changed. I think it's been done very much more in the public than before. And what happened with the ESTA, it looked like it was very rigorous what they were looking for. They're now looking for more. I suspect that when they went after certain people, they were unable to find what they wanted. So they're looking for more and more detail. It's not that everything gets looked at. It's when you're in that situation where they doubt you and they're questioning, that's when they go back into the ESTA application. And a reason for refusal very often is not telling the full truth on ESTA. It's going to be, I suspect that's what's going to happen. And I suspect that they're doing this in advance of what will be a big year for US tourism, not so much to turn people away, but to leverage this power they have to affect the general debate, which is the point made by Barry there.
Yeah. All right, we leave it there. Owen Corry, editor of Travel Extra, Barry Andrews, Fianna Fáil, MEP. Thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.